I was just sent recently an article about the wonderful soldiers, wonderful military people who guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as fantastic as it is, I have no reason to doubt its authenticity. But it's pretty fantastic. Just two things I'm going to mention. One is, according to this article, it's considered the greatest honor, or one of the greatest honors, to be selected to be a guard. And they do this 7x24, regardless of circumstances, including the last storm that came in. They were told, storm is so bad you can take off. And they refused. And they continued patrolling right through the storm. That's consecration. Now, when they do that, well, first of all, to be selected, there's special criteria. They have to be between 5'8" and 6'2". 5'8" to 6'2". And their waist must not be larger than 30 inches. 30 inches. Imagine being 6'2" and 30 inches with a 30-inch waist. So I have a new goal. I'm now 6'2", okay? But I have a secondary goal. My waist is around 32 right now, going on to 31. And I had thought about going on to 30, but I had no real reason until I read this. And so my next goal is to get my waist down to 30 inches. Why is that? Because I figure if these people can do that to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier, I can do that to guard the temple of my God. And make no mistake about it, for those of you who heard my two-part series, Physical Health, that you cannot get leaner, you cannot reduce your body fat without getting healthier. Leaner means healthier. And so, to guard the temple of God, we need to be healthy. To be here when Jesus returns, we need to be alive, which means you have to be pretty healthy to be alive. But the other point I want to mention from the tomb of the unknown soldier is they take certain vows. And one vow is for the rest of their lives, not while they're on guard duty, for the rest of their lives. I think guard duty is only 4 years. For the rest of their lives, they will not drink alcohol. Now think of that. To patrol for, I think, 4 years, they make a vow never to have alcohol for the rest of their life. And certain other behavioral characteristics are going to maintain. To guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. And you and I have been given the task of guarding the temple of God. In fact, God lives in your spirit. Your spirit is the temple of God. And your spirit lives in your body. And commonly, you know, the church says your temple is your body is the temple of God. But your spirit really is the temple of God. Now, God would like your entire body to be his temple, but we tend to block his progress by the veil of our heart. And our job is to understand that he wants our entire being to be his garden. We want to walk with him, and so we are not our own, we're his. To part our hearts totally, that God floods our entire being, and the life of God floods and pumps life into every cell, every organ, every system. So that there's so much life in you and on you that you cannot be harmed by any evil from the kingdom of man, from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of animals, or from the kingdom of nature. That nothing by any means shall hurt you, and no evil shall befall you, Because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, and the secret place of the Most High God is dwelling in you. And that's what I want to talk about tonight from a slightly different angle, which is changing your world. Change is inevitable. The only thing that doesn't change, according to the Bible, is God. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I never change. And science tells us that the only thing that doesn't change is the speed of light. And the Bible tells us God is light. So there is a consistency there which I don't quite understand. But how consistent that is. So change is inevitable. You will change your world, or your world will change you. Just my suggestion is you should let God change you, and you change your world, and you take the world which is malleable, and you mold your world to fit you. From the smallest detail to the most major. Small detail. Yesterday I said, honey, you know, I really feel we're in a fast, and on this fast, I've been fasting for a long time. The Lord first put me on a long fast twice a year back in 1996. Since then, I've been doing two long fasts every year. But in recent years, he's made it easier for me. So on my fast now, I can have certain things which I never could have before. So yesterday, I said to my wife, honey, on this fast, I would love to have coconuts and pineapples. And she knows I love bananas. So she went to the store today to get me coconut and pineapples because she's a wonderful wife. And coconut, pineapples, and bananas were all on sale. All on sale. Now you say, well, how much money did you save? Well, I didn't buy a truckload of bananas, so it was not a lot of money. But it's not how much money you save. It's a lot more than that. It's that every penny of God that you protect is a penny more for the kingdom. It's God's money. We should not even waste a penny. Secondly, it's the love and favor of God showing us that here we go, buy these three items, and just by sheer coincidence, as the world would say, they're on sale. Those are, shall we say, on the smaller side. On the bigger side, according to various news reports, California has been in the worst drought in recorded history. That doesn't mean written history. That means since they've been measuring it. Okay? So since they've been measuring these things, according to various reports, it's been the worst drought in recorded history. So 3 weeks ago, we prayed here to end the drought. We thought the time has come to end the drought. And we prayed here to end the drought. 4 days later, they said there was no rain in sight. But 4 days later, it snowed in the mountains above Big Bear. Not low enough to benefit the ski resorts, but high up, probably where they have the ice packs, I don't really know. But it snowed. A few days later, we had a sprinkling of rain. The news reporter said, well, you know, looks like it might rain, but it's not even measurable, not even worth mentioning, but we got sprinkling rain. But they said, no, there's no rain in sight. 4 days later, we got rain that was measurable. Then 3 more days later, rain is measurable. And my wife had prayed that El Nino conditions that bring a lot of rain would arise. And last night in the news report, I heard them saying, it looks like the El Nino is going to arise later this year. Okay? So as far as we're concerned, that drought has been ended. And we're standing in faith to believe that all the streams, rivers, lakes, dams, reservoirs, aquifers, and ice packs are all going to be restored. That's this time. Now, there will be times in the future where that may not happen. But right now, we are here. ABC is based in California. We are here in California. We're all praying, and we are doing it. The rest of the country isn't faring so well as California. Have you noticed that? You notice that ABC is not there? You think there's a connection? Well, that's for you to decide for yourself. I remember when this giant hurricane. I forget which one was. Was it? No, not the one about Jamaica. That's a different story. It's a wonderful story, but I'm going to a different story this time. Ivan was the one that charged up to Jamaica and ABC prayed, and the report said it is as if it ran into a wall all around the country and couldn't go into the country. It continued the length of the country as if there was a hidden invisible wall. And once it passed the country, it resumed its original course. Okay? Pretty amazing. But the one I want to tell you is about this hurricane roared into the Gulf and headed for Mobile, Alabama, where my niece lives. And the family prayed, and it changed and went towards Florida, heading towards some more family. And they prayed, and it doubled back and headed towards Louisiana, New Orleans. Okay? And I said, it ain't going to hit New Orleans this time because Jesse lives in New Orleans. And veered again. Yeah. I think it eventually hit someplace in northern Florida and went across Florida is what I think it is, okay? But hurricanes don't do those things normally. They don't make zigzags and double back on themselves and go in circles, okay? Now, eventually, of course, one did hit New Orleans, okay? But it did not affect Jesse's operations. So, people of prayer change their world and mold it. And that's what I want to talk about. Some of the prayers that we used when we prayed that prayer to stop the drought are prayers you all know very well. There's Mark 11:24, Mark 11:23, and Romans 4:17. Now, we used two other prayers, which I'm not going to teach at this level. But these three I want to cover a little bit. I'm sure everybody here and everybody on the internet, your Bible automatically opens to Mark 11:24 when you pop it open. If not, stick around, it will. Okay? Now, the example of Mark 11:24 I want to use is from Joshua chapter 10. If you'd all turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. So, in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua is at war. And he's winning the battle. And we pick it up in verse 12, Joshua 10, verse 12. So he is in a battle. They are winning the battle, but the day is coming to an end. And of course, under darkness, the enemy can reinforce, run away, do whatever they want to do. So in Joshua 10, verse 12, then spoke Joshua to the Lord. So he's speaking to the Lord. When the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, so he spoke to the Lord. Then he spoke and he said, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and you moon in the valley of Ajalon. So he speaks to God first, and then he commands the sun. Now, what is speaking to God? He's obviously asking God for the sun to stand still, or for permission to tell the sun to stand still. Verse 13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon the enemies. So the sun stood still in the middle of the heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day, one whole day. It just stood there. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man. So Joshua spoke to God, and I'm saying he asked God for the sun to stand still. And once God said yes, then he said, sun, stand still. Now, telling the sun to stand still is a prayer of authority. You're commanding to stand still. But asking God for it is the prayer of faith, a petition prayer. You ask God for something, and once God says yes, then you can command it. For us, we have God's promises in the Bible. So for most of the things we need, we don't need to ask God. We simply go find the promise. That's God's word. It's the same as God telling you. So for most things we want, we simply command it. So we did not ask God permission to stop the drought. We just felt the time had come to stop it. So we stopped it. So that's a dramatic example of the prayer of faith, asking God for something. The boldness of this man that he asked God for permission to stop the sun. And he was not born again. That's the kind of boldness you and I need to live in. We're children of the Most High God. We are his garden. We're not his own. We're not our own. We are his own. And when you have that attitude, then you have the boldness to ask anything that is godly for a godly purpose. Mark 11:23 is the prayer of authority. Mark 11:24, as you all know, says, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you should have them." Mark 11:23 is a prayer of authority. "That whosoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says." So when you say, "Drought stop," you expect the drought to stop. When you say, "Rain fall," you expect the rain to fall. Now, I have been practicing speaking to the weather now for 30 years. Actually, longer. One of the most dramatic ones came in my early Christian life when we had volunteered to work with a national ministry that came to LA once a month. And so we basically did everything in the service, provided the labor. And part of what we did was take all the electronic and musical equipment and we stored it for the month and brought it back and set it up and tested everything out to make sure everything worked. So this particular day, we are taking the equipment down to the Shrine Auditorium to set it up. And it was raining, a bunch of cats and a few dogs. I mean, water was coming on like you could not believe it. So early in the day, we prayed, and the prayer was very simple. "Lord, we're going to take this equipment down to the service, and when we do that, not one drop of rain will touch the equipment." Notice that we did not tell the rain to stop. We didn't care about that. In fact, I think there wasn't a drought that was ending. We just wanted the equipment protected. And so we got there, and it was raining when we got there. We loaded all the equipment into a small truck, which had no cover, no top. It was like a pickup, but there's no cover. And so we prayed and we loaded up, and it was raining while we were loading up. We're in a garage. We opened the door of the garage and looked out, and we didn't see any rain. So we drove out. Ground was soaking. We drove from there to the Shrine Auditorium. It took 40 minutes maybe. And the entire time we could see rain ahead falling, rain behind falling, rain falling to the right, rain falling to the left, and the ground was always soaked. Not one drop of water touched the equipment. So, I've been practicing speaking to parking spots and rain for a lot of years. And the more you do it, is the more efficient and effective you become. It's the more you learn. Now is the time for us all to become experts on controlling all the things that need to be controlled. Now is the time for us to learn how to change our world to conform to what we need. A great example of that is Brother Yun. There is a series of CDs called The Heavenly Man. I believe there are 12 CDs about Brother Yun. And Brother Yun is Chinese, was born in China, was born at a very young age, and born to a Christian mother and a non-Christian father. Her mother had gotten saved. But it had been so long since there were churches and so long since there were Bibles that she had just totally forgotten all about it. This is just a wonderful story, but I just want to speed forward through it. The father got saved because he was almost dying. And they prayed and Jesus healed him. And what Brother Yun wanted was a Bible. And so he prayed for a Bible. Now, the penalty for having a Bible was imprisonment. He kept praying for 2 or 3 months for a Bible. And one morning, about 3 a.m., there's a knock on the door. He went to the door. And a man was outside. And he just stuck a Bible at him and left. Now, Brother Yun hadn't told anybody he wanted a Bible. We got his Bible. Anyway, he went on to found a whole bunch of churches. And eventually, the government was really after him for a long time. They actually caught him a number of times. But in this particular time when they caught him, and in trying to get away, he broke his leg. So here he is with a broken leg in the maximum security prison in China. He's on the 6th floor. The only access to the floor is by going up stairs, and then there is on the 6th floor a steel gate, steel partition with a steel door. There's a guard on the inside of the door and a guard on the outside of the door. And then there's a staircase. And as you go down the staircase, you got to pass 5 staircases exactly the same. Then when you get to the bottom, there's a guard, 2 guards, and a steel door to get out of the building. And when you do that, you're in the main prison. And so he's in there. He can hardly walk. In fact, he can't walk. When he had to go to the restroom, somebody had to help him. He's in there, and God spoke to him in his heart. There was no writing on the wall. God spoke to him in his heart because he had practiced listening and talking to God. That's the most important thing we can do, is practicing hearing the voice of God in our heart. Because if we don't hear the voice of God in our heart, if we don't get to learn and to know the voice of God, demons will confuse us. The fiery darts to our mind will confuse us. We need to be able to know God's voice. And so God says, it's time to leave. Here's a man with a broken leg who can't walk. God says, it's time to leave. He said, okay. So he crawled out of bed, and he's hobbling along, dragging his leg. And after a while, he's moving towards the door, and he's thinking, they're going to shoot me and kill me. And he's so afraid of being killed that he forgets about the pain in the leg. He forgets about the leg because he's so focused on the fact that they're probably going to kill me. But he's obeying the voice of God even though he thinks they're going to kill him. And sometime along there, his leg is totally miraculously healed. And he doesn't even know it. Because, you know, when there's a lion under your bed who's hungry and wants to eat you, you forget about a minor headache. So he's so focused on the possibility of being shot and killed that he totally forgets about the leg and the healing. As he gets towards the gate, another soldier came up, and they opened the gate and they told him to start talking. And he walks right past them and through the gate, and they don't see him. And he goes down and passes every gate. In fact, it seems to me he has to go through every gate on every floor. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah, he has to go through every gate on every floor. And somehow, miraculously, every time he gets there, the gate is open and something is happening and nobody sees him. And the last one, the 2 guards are there looking straight at him and it says, there's no way they can avoid seeing me. And they look right through him and he walks right through them, opens and go out. And now he's walking across the main compound and the prisoners on the 6th floor are all watching him and they all see him and they're just waiting for the guards to shoot him down. And the guards don't see him. And he walked right through to the main gate. And as he got there, a taxi pulls up. A man jumps out. He jumps in the taxi and says, take me here. And he's gone. Now, that's changing your world. Changing your world. That's the kind of stuff that we want to do. Pastor Joseph has a story that's similar. And we need to have the boldness and the faith and the practice to change our world and to expect these things to happen to us. Except, let me suggest that you change your world in advance so you don't get arrested in the first place. Okay? And nor any broken leg. Let's look at an example of the prayer of authority, okay? Let's look at 1 Samuel 17. You all know the story. It's a wonderful story. It's the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. We're just going to look at two verses. Remember, David is a young lad, but he had been practicing to change his world. The wolf came, the lion came, and he killed them, protecting his sheep. He had a job to do. Didn't sound very important. He was protecting his sheep, but he had to fight to protect them. He was practicing to change his world. Just as you and I are today and every day practicing to change our world by fighting. We fight off the lies of demons, devils, evil spirits. We cast demons, devils, and evil spirits out of our lives, out of any place they happen to be. We force ourselves to walk in consecration with commitment before God. We force ourselves, well, after a while, you don't have to force yourself, you love it. You love to read the Bible and to do what the Bible says, to do all the things that we call spiritual warfare, secondary methods of healing. So David did all this, never dreaming that one day he would be the only champion of Israel to face Goliath, the enemy. Nobody would fight him because the dude was just way too big. So David is going out to fight him. So in 1 Samuel 17, verse 44, we tell you what Goliath said. In 44, Goliath the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." He's going to do it. Here's David's answer. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." And we can say to the demons, "You come to me with lies and with pain and sickness and disease and infirmity and cancer and the need to go to hospitals and lack of money and weakness and headaches and fear." And you can go on and on and on. These are all the things that the devil comes to us with. But David goes on to say, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts, of the armies of heaven." He is the one who fights for you. Habakkuk chapter 4, verse 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. Habakkuk 3, verse 19 said, "God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army." In the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible. God is your strength. God is your personal bravery. And God is your invincible army. No matter what comes against you, God is your invincible army. Invincible means you can't lose. You can't lose because Romans 8:37 says you're more than a conqueror. You're a super conqueror. But you have to come to the battle in the name of the Lord of hosts. You have to know that God is the God who fights for you, that he goes before you and comes behind you. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. See, Goliath, the Philistines, were defying the armies and the people of God. God had given the land to Israel. And the Philistines were trying to defy this and break the word of God. But as God has given you health, healing, and wholeness, God has said that he'll supply your need, that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Every promise of God belongs to you. And when the devil tries to steal it, he's defying the word of God, God, and the armies of heaven. And when you understand that the devil is trying to defy God when he comes against you, then you have boldness to declare that God and the armies of heaven will fight on your behalf. And when you have that boldness, then you can make the statements that David made. This day, elsewhere, David had said in verse 36, he said, in the past, when the lion and the bear came after my sheep, I slew them. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Uncircumcised meaning, here is a man who does not have a covenant with God. He's not of the family of God. He's not of the army of God. Whereas we are children of the Most High God, and we have a covenant sealed, not with the blood of circumcision, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can have the boldness. And so David went on to say, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I gave the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Verse 4-7 goes on to say, for the battle is the Lord. That's the attitude you and I need to have every time a challenge comes against us. We declare, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. All our sins have been nailed to the cross. We are free of sin. And if we are free of sins, then we are free of the effects of those sins. Therefore, it is illegal for the devil and his minions to attack you and me when we confess our sins and cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. It is illegal. And you can bind them up and do to them terrible things. So, David declared that this day he's going to take his head off. This day, you're going to die, I'm going to take your head off. Speaking in the authority on behalf of the authority backed up by the armies of heaven. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 17. That we call things that be not as though they are. We look at something in our world and it's not right. And we change it by declaring and calling what we want. So Romans 4:17 says, you call things that be not as though they are. You look at your world and you change it. This is a main tool that you use. In fact, in one sense, every time you pray, Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith, and you believe that you receive when you say amen, that God has done it and commanded it, then from the time you say amen until the time you say, there it is, I see it, I got it. During that time, it's spiritual warfare. And one of the main things you do in spiritual warfare is call things that be not as though they are. You keep thanking God and calling it the way you want it. If there's pain in your body, if the doctors have said there's cancer in the person's body, the person should be declaring, my body has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You're calling health into your body to replace the lies of the enemy concerning cancer. You're calling things that be not as though they are. And a wonderful example of that is in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, a wonderful example of calling things that be not. This is an example that I think everybody should really memorize. 1 Kings 18. And there was a drought. Does that sound familiar? And the drought went on for 3.5 years. And then Elijah declared the drought was over. The famine was over. And told the king to get ready for an abundance of rain. At that point in time, he had seen no rain. So he went out to pray. So in 1 Kings 18, verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink because he's been told by the man of God, the famine is over, so go eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servants, go now and look toward the sea. Go look toward the sea. And he went and said, there is nothing. In other words, he's looking for rain, for the rain clouds coming in from the sea. And the servant comes back and says, I don't see anything. So Elijah prayed again. He's calling things that be not as though they are. Don't know the exact prayer he's using, but he's calling rain when there's no rain. Seven times he repeats this. Seven times. Six times he sees nothing. And then verse 44. And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. A little cloud like a man's hand. That's what you want to look for. You want to look for a small change. And when you see that small change, then you really start rejoicing, whooping and hollering. And he said, go tell the king, prepare the chariot and get thee down that the rain doesn't stop you. Okay? So he's telling them, so much as rain is coming, get going before the rain stops you from doing what you have to do. Based on one small cloud. And you will see these small clouds in your life. Good clouds. You may be challenging something, and you pray, and it leaves for a moment. Never says it comes and goes. When you say it comes and goes, you're giving it permission to come back. You start rejoicing, the pain is gone. You start whooping and hollering. And you keep calling things that be not. When you're praying for somebody in the hospital, you find it from the doctor. Of all these things they're monitoring, which is the most important? And when you find out, you pick the number and say, doctor, where do you want the number to be? And the doctor will tell you where the number should be. And then you start calling it down little by little. We did that. We have a lady watching right now who did that recently, calling her certain cells, certain measurements from, if I can recall correctly, something like 20,000 up to 350,000. Okay? In increments. You just call it in increments. We have a lady, 3 weeks, that's 3 inches off her waist, calling it down 2 inches at a time. All these things are ongoing. You call things that be not. This is one of the most wonderful examples of warfare. That you put your time and your effort in, you do your affirmations, you pray in tongues, you call things that be not, and you watch for that small hand like a cloud, and you rejoice. I remember once I actually did that, except I wasn't looking for a cloud, I was looking for sunshine. It had been overcast in this area and raining for, I think, 2 months. And on this particular day, I wanted sunshine for a business meeting that was going to take place on a golf course. And I prayed, I think I started praying about 7 in the morning and prayed until maybe 9. And around 9, I just saw a glimmering where the cloud was kind of opening up. Didn't see blue skies. I saw less dark skies. And I went inside and said, hey, when you go golfing today, take your suntan lotion. And the wife was a woman of faith. She got the lotion and she put it on her husband and herself to go meet the other couple. Within half an hour, whole area was bathed in beautiful blue skies and sunshine for the first time in like 2 months. And they went to meet this other couple for golfing. And the other couple got badly sunburned because they didn't take the suntan lotion. They took it on themselves, but they weren't going to be like Eskimos rubbing faces together. So the other person had no suntan lotion. Look for that small change. That small change. Now, to walk in the power of these things, we need to change ourselves. Let me give you 3 scriptures for changing yourselves. Changing yourself. Remember, dominion starts with dominion over yourself, over your body. Psalm 35, verse 13. Psalm 35, verse 13, which is very appropriate today since this church is on a 21-day fast. It says, humble your soul with fasting. Humble your soul with fasting. Psalm 35, verse 13. Humble your soul with fasting. That's a starting point for this change. You move towards humility. You move towards a humble soul by fasting. Now, when you do that, Psalm 25 verse 9, Psalm 25 verse 9 tells you, God teaches his way to the humble. So you humble yourself with fasting, and then God starts to teach you his way. And his way is what we want to learn, not our way, his way. And when God teaches us his way, Proverbs 22 verse 4 tells us, Proverbs 22 verse 4, with humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Not long life, life. The kind of life that will have you there when Jesus returns. The kind of life that will overcome death and not die. Proverbs 22 verse 4, with humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Three scriptures for moving us through humility to knowing God's way, through revelation knowledge, and to being here when Jesus returns. So we humble ourselves with fasting. I want to close with two examples of prayer. Two examples of praying how to change your world. The first one we started here at ABC quite a while ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, with a simple prayer of authority. We know that everybody has one or more guardian angels. But as you look at the world, you see terrible things happening to children all over the world. And so we decided to have an impact. And I on my own, practiced this one for about a year or so before I taught it to the people who were here when I taught it. And we all started doing it. It's very simple. We use the prayer of authority, and we command the guardian angels of the children to protect the children. All over the world. We started locally, went nationally, went all over the world. So every day I start my day off, part of my morning prayers is I command the guardian angels of every child to protect the child. And I'll tell you, the miracles that have happened, we've seen with kids over the last 6 years, 8 years, are just totally amazing. Shortly after that came up this Megan Lawwig, the flash, the car license numbers that was passed shortly thereafter. Remember this, one of the first ones that I saw was in Pasadena. This 8-year-old girl had been kidnapped. And she got away, and they caught the guy. And they said he had left her tied up on this bed. And she snapped the bonds and kicked the door down and got away. An 8-year-old girl. Right. Praise God. She snapped the bonds, kicked the door down and got away. And I guarantee that every one of you who ever watches news will have heard about, in the last months, years, if you watch the news, you'll hear about children who have gotten away from kidnappers. They try to kidnap them and grab them into a car and they get away. Over and over and over, they get away. Just a kid and the kidnapper and they get away. It's like suddenly all the kidnappers get, you know, fingers that, slippery fingers, right? Another one that I love is this one who's in Australia. This lady pushed her carriage onto the train platform, parked it, turned to talk, and I guess the vibration card started running, and it ran right down into the track and hit by a train and moved, I forget how far, 20 yards, 40 yards. Imagine that, a baby carriage being pushed 20 or 40 yards. And there's nothing wrong with the baby. Not a scratch on the baby. That has to be the power of God. Another one. This one is very recent. Baby fell out of a 15-story window and fell to the ground. And had a few scratches is all. Sign says, the baby fell into a bush and the bush broke its fall. A bush called an angel of God. A burning bush, maybe. Okay. So, there are quite a few examples I had put here. So, I tell you that one to introduce the next one. Matthew and Tanya have been praying this for about a year. And after a year, they decided to share it with us. And the reason why they decided to share with us was, see, being an intercessor prayer warrior often can be very challenging and take a lot of patience and commitment, because generally, at least in the past, you never hear the results of what you're praying for. You pray and you pray and you pray, and by faith you believe your prayers are having an impact, but you never hear the results. So Matthew and Tanya have been praying, and this is the one that they have. They say, you know, God knew you from the foundation of the world. He knew the baby in the womb. So if God knows the baby in the womb, then God and angels are assigned to the baby. God and angels are ministering spirits. And the angels, Psalm 103, verse 20, angels await the voicing of God's word. If God's word is not spoken to the angels, they sit around probably with folded arms, not doing anything. They cannot do anything to help you if you don't speak God's word. You must speak God's word. But the babies can't do that. So Matthew and Tanya a year ago started praying the following. Commanding the guardian angels for the babies that are in the womb to protect them and to protect them from abortions. In the LA Times in the last 5 days, approximately the last 5 days, article says that in the last year, that's the year when Matthew and Tanya have been praying, 2012, the abortion rate has fallen to its lowest point, equal to 1973, when Wade and Roe were passed. Think about that. 1973 is what? 42 years ago? 42 years ago, right? 41 years ago. In over 40 years, this is the lowest year it's been in. The lowest year. We have, as part of our ABC warfare, been binding up our principalities, powers, and demons in various areas of sin across the country, large cities. And you all know, I'm sure by now, that the crime rate all across the country has fallen. They don't know why it's falling. It's falling all over the country, especially murders. Crime rate is falling all over. Now, if you pray in faith, then when you see the result, faith says you must believe your prayer has something to do with it. Otherwise, why pray? Right? You might say, boy, you guys are egotistic. No, we have prayer of faith. We believe that when we pray, it has a result. And when we see the result, we believe our prayers have something to do with it. That's the prayer of faith. So, we're encouraging you to join us. I'm going to join Pastor Matthew and Tanya in praying that the guardian angels protect all the fetuses across the country. I'm going to pray, continue to pray that angels protect the children. We're going to expand our prayers. Why? Because we are practicing our prayers for the ending days. Practicing it for the ending days. Scripture says, Jesus says, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of God? Because a rich man, it's a lot easier to buy what you want. A man who is rich and focused on his money would wonder, why is Pastor Joshua talking about coconuts and bananas and sale? But we're practicing the favor of God. We're practicing the favor of God. A person who is rich and the car, gas in the car falls below a certain point, pulls into a station and buys gas. Doesn't stop to say, Lord, should I buy gas now? Or which gas station should I go to? Or try to save a few cents on it. And by not doing that, that person is not moving into the kingdom of God. It's failing to practice. Do you know when I used to do a lot of driving? It was amazing how many times God would say, go to that gas station. I'd pull in there, and before I left, I'd lead somebody to Jesus over and over and over again. Because I'd always ask God, when do I buy gas and where do I buy gas? And that kind of practice will come into good use in the days ahead when there's no gas to be had. See? Those of us who've had practice driving cars without gas by faith, and I know some of you have, I know I have, driving cars by faith with no gas, that will come in really good practice when there is no gas to be had. Or no food. Like Pastor Jen had practice when her oven didn't work for a long time, praying for the food to be cooked, just as if the oven was working, and setting the timer and coming back, and there it was cooked. These are all the things we need to practice to change your world. Your world should be obedient to you. Your world should be changed by you. Your world shouldn't be changing you. God should be changing you. God changes you, not demons. You change to move towards God. You don't change because you're running from demons. You change to move towards God, and you move toward the point where every day you declare, in the name of Jesus, no harm shall come to me from the kingdom of man, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of animals, or kingdom of nature. You pray protection over your home. In the name of Jesus, my home shall not be affected by any of these four kingdoms, and in particular, not by earthquakes, sinkholes, mudslide, floods, dams breaking, too much water, too little water, fires, volcanoes, tidal waves, and every other work of nature and every work of man, included atomic, biological, and chemical warfare. We are sons and daughters of God. And that power comes out your mouth, and you and I need to learn to live in that power. And thus we have time to practice it, to live in that power. Where we can walk through riots, and they don't see you, and doesn't affect you. Which, by the way, I've done. Not just by myself, but with a group of kids. Okay? That no matter where you go, you are sealed in the Spirit of God. And you're walking in what is better than Abraham's tongue. You're walking in the Spirit of God. And no harm shall befall you. Amen? Amen? Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.